ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 20 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द रेनी सीजन एंड ऑटम टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 एंड 24 जलौघैर् निरभिद्यन्त सेतवो वर्षतीश्वरे पाषण्डीनाम् असद्वादेर् वेदमार्गाः कलौ यथा जलौघे निरभिद्यन्त सेतवो वर्षतीश्वरे पाषण्डीनाम् असद्वादे वेदमार्गा कलो यथा जलौघे निरभिद्यन्त सेतवो वर्षतीश्वरे पाषण्डीनाम् असद्वादे वेदमार्गा कलो यथा जलौघे निरभिद्यन्त सेतवो वर्षतीश्वरे पाषण्डीनाम् असद्वादे वेदमार्गा कलो यथा word to word meaning jaloghair by the flood water nirabhidyanta became broken setava the dikes varshati when he is showering rain ishware lord indra पाषण्डीनाम् ऑफ द एथिस्ट असत्वादे बाय द फॉल्स थियरीज वेदमार्गा द पाथ्स ऑफ द वेदास कलो इन द कलियुग यथा एज ट्रांसलेशन When Indra sent forth his rains, the flood waters broke through the irrigation dikes in the agricultural fields. Just as in Kali Yuga, the atheist false theories break down the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. There is no purport. We'll take the next verse, text number 24. Vimunchan vayubhir nuna bhutebhyas chamritam guna yatha shisha vishpataya kale kale dvijeritaha. Translation purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The clouds impelled by the winds release their nectarian water for the benefit of all living beings. Just as kings, instructed by their Brahmana priest, dispense charity to the citizens. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, in the rainy season, the clouds, tossed by the wind, deliver water that is welcomed like nectar. When the Vedic followers, the Brahmanas, inspire rich men like kings and the wealthy mercantile community to give charity in the performance of great sacrifices, the distribution of such wealth is also nectarian. The four sections of human society, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas and the Shudras, are meant to live peacefully in a cooperative mode. This is possible when they are guided by expert Vedic Brahmanas who perform sacrifices and distribute wealth equally. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare. When Indra sent forth his rains, the flood waters broke through the irrigation dikes like in the agricultural field. Just as in Kali Yuga, the atheist false theories break down the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. The clouds impelled by the winds release their nectarian water for the benefit of all living beings. Just as kings instructed by the Brahmana priest dispense charity to citizens. Hare Krishna. Six blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Blessings of mercy of like rain. onto the bard's dry heart here. In our discussion today, we will focus on two topics. One is rainy season, and second is the act of charity. So we have been reading this particular chapter, the rainy season in autumn. Almost 3/4 of this chapter is the description of the rainy season, the effect of rainy season on Vrindavan Dham, and then later part is about the coming of autumn season. So it's a wonderful thing that we are discussing about rainy season when we are also expecting rainy season here. And we can also experience the heat of summer. Temperature is rising. And everyone is waiting for the rainy season to come. And we can see here in the description of Bhagavatam, what does rainy season bring in when they come? Here in this particular chapter, the summer has just set, has finished. And before the rainy season has come, two pastimes have taken place. In the summer, Lord Balaram killed Pralambasur, and Krishna swallowed the forest fire. And now the rainy season is set in, and after the description of rainy season here, in just 2-3 verses from now, again, the camera will focus on Krishna Balaram enjoying the forest which is now ornamented because of rainy season. It is mentioned so beautifully here that how rainy season brings in joy in the life of one and everyone. Through the different verses which we have already covered, we find that how before rainy season comes, dense blue clouds, they appear in the sky. And then when they come, then it results in lightning and thunder. And it is mentioned that the sun, which has still now drank so much of water from earth and from other river sources, drying them up, the same sun has collected the water in the form of clouds. And now the clouds are going to release the same rain. So Bhagavatam mentions it's like a king who collects taxes. And when time comes for charity, he gives back the taxes in the form of public welfare work. And then another example is given from Bhagavatam, this particular chapter, that earth, because of summer season, has become parched, become dry, banjar. And it looks like earth is performing a lot of tapasya. Just like a person performs tapasya, what happens? Then he becomes very emaciated, very thin. His eyes go inside. He just cannot function in a healthy way. He is doing a lot of tapasya. But when the tapasya is over and the fruit of his tapasya comes in, then what happens? He becomes very nourished. Immediately there is life in his body. We have experienced just 2 days back in Narsingh Chaturdashi. And if rain does not come, we'll experience more intensely on June 20th, Pandav Nijale Kareshe. So tapasya, when tapasya is there, the person is very much thin and emaciated. But when he gets his tapasya's, the fruit of his tapasya, then he becomes nourished. We find so many examples from Bhagavatam. We have example of Hiranyakashipu. His body was fully emaciated. Ants had eaten his body. But then Brahma came, and Brahma just sprinkled some water on his body. And what happened? The same body became like Vajra, thunderbolt. And he became very happy getting his body. So many examples in Shastra of people performed so much tapasya. And when they got the fruit of tapasya, they were enlivened. They were happy. Vaishnava Acharya has mentioned this beautiful story of Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa. When they left, they had this Vanaprastha and they left to perform tapasya. They came to Naimisharanya. And Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa had a very strong desire to have a child. And not ordinary child, Lord Vishnu as their child. So when they performed tapasya, it is mentioned what tapasya they had performed in Naimisharanya. For 6,000 years, they were standing and they would only eat roots and fruits. Roots and fruits. Local, not imported. Sometimes we use imported fruits to eat. But local fruits, they would eat whatever was available around them. 6,000 years, they ate only roots and fruits. The next 6,000 years, they drank only water. The next 6,000 years, no water, only breathing of air. The next 6,000 years, no air. So when this tapasya was getting intense, Brahmaji came to test them. And Ramaji asked them, what do you want from me? Ask whatever I can give. Swayambhu, Manu and Shatrupada did not even open their eyes to look at Brahmaji. Because they wanted to, they were like Chataka birds waiting for that rain coming from the cloud. And Lord Shiva came and tested them. And still they did not open their eyes. And finally, Lord himself had to come. So Lord, when he came, he did not come physically. First, he manifested his sound. So there was a Akashvani. So when the Akashvani came, it is mentioned, the Vaishnavacharya has mentioned that when the Akashvani came, Shatrupa and Swayambhu Manu, whose body were fully emaciated, just by hearing the words of Lord, their body regained their former, just like they, when they came from their palace, what kind of body they had, fresh and fit body, that kind of body they regained, just by hearing. So that is the power of hearing Krishna's words, Krishna's name. By hearing Krishna's name, our senses get enlivened. From a dry, parched life of sense gratification, we come to a full life of Krishna consciousness. And then, when Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa open their eyes and they cannot see the Lord, so they mention that, Lord asked them, what do you want? Said, we want to have first your darshan. So then it is mentioned that Lord Ram and Sita, they manifested. And Swayambhu Manu then expresses this desire that he wants to have Lord as his son. And then the result is that he has been told that in Treta Yuga he will be born as Dashrath and Shatrupa will be born as Kaushalya. So this is how when a person does tapasya and the fruit of his tapasya is bore, he is very happy. So that is compared to earth planet, the Bhumi. Then 10th canto also mentions about glowworms. When there is rainfall, there is cloud everywhere on the sky. So therefore the stars are not visible. And when the star is not visible, what happens? The glowworms are seen and they give some light out. So this cloudy atmosphere is compared to Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, when the light of Vedic knowledge is not properly propagated, what happens? This tiny glowworms, the so-called propagators of dharma, they come and start propagating so-called dharmas. And they shed light and they feel that they are doing so much great. So they are compared to glowworms. So most of the time when we are reading this description about nature, many of us cannot relate to it because we have never lived in nature. Now you said that in rainy season the cloud is covered with sky and there is no star seen. For us, there is every day we cannot see star because of pollution. We can't hardly can see star upstairs. So, point is that to understand even basic about nature, we have to live in nature for some time. Like I was hearing this particular 10th canto from lectures of Radha Govind Maharaj, and he was mentioning, if someone is reading Bhagavatam who is living in city, what he will understand glowworm, what he will understand peacock? He will never understand. Therefore he mentioned, Bhagavatam, especially 10th canto, is meant for person who is living in villages. Because he can understand. Otherwise it will theoretically, we'll just go through Bhagavatam. Like many people in city don't have any understanding of nature. Like, I went recently to farm, Govardhan Eco Village. And we have every day almost school trips coming, you know, from different schools in Bombay. So one South Mumbai school had come to Govardhan Eco Village. So we have devotees who take them all around the field and show them everything. So they came to Cow Barn, Goshala. So one boy, he was very excited. He came and told the devotee, Prabhuji, do you know cow gives milk? So anyway, this devotee was excited to hear this information, as if it was a very sensational information. So this devotee very, very intelligently asked him, do you know from where milk comes? And this boy was surprised. He didn't have the answer to that question. From where the milk comes? Then he had to show. This is the order. From there milk comes. So this is the condition in today's society. Most of us had some experience in today's generation, maybe of nature. But as we are going ahead in Kali Yuga, in city life, people have no experience of nature. And when they will read Bhagavatam 10th canto, it will be a theoretical reading. So therefore sometimes we have to go in nature and see the nature. I am not advising for Govardhan Eco Village, but you can try going there, it's very close by. So continuing on, then the frogs when the rainy season comes, suddenly the frogs come out and they start croaking. So that croaking of frog is compared to students chanting mantras when the spiritual master comes. The spiritual master's presence brings enlivenment in the students. The morning program becomes vibrant. And everything becomes vibrant. The Bhagavatam class becomes vibrant. The Japa becomes vibrant. That is the power of Guru's presence. So Guru is compared to rainy season. When he comes, he brings in rainy season and the frogs very enthusiastically start croaking. Hari Bol! The peacock who is very sad when he sees the clouds and the rainfall, the peacock starts dancing. So peacock is compared to a householder who is very unhappy leading a life where he has to make two ends meet, very difficult life. But when a saintly person visits the house, then he is very happy to see a saintly person. So peacock starts dancing, so householder becomes very happy. And the field which is fully now dry, parched, brown, becomes suddenly green. And that brings joy to the heart of a farmer. And the trees, which are also brown and have shed their leaves, they also become green. So, in this way, Krishna and Balaram will now enter into this forest, and Prabhupada says, the translation mentions here, that Krishna and Balaram will enter this forest and they will enjoy this forest. So this is the perfection of life. Whatever we have, it is for Krishna's enjoyment. So in this particular verse which we are covering today, 23rd and 24th, 23rd gives an unfavorable example of rainy season and 24th gives a favorable example. This is as per Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions 23rd translation of 23rd verse is about excess flood, excess rainwater. How they when rush in, it breaks all the irrigation field dikes. Agriculture dikes, and the result is the crop is destroyed. Similarly, it is mentioned here that Kali Yuga is compared to Indra, who sent forth heavy rains, and that heavy rains is compared to atheistic false theories. And what is the result? That atheistic false theories, they break open the boundaries of Vedic injunction. Whatever little Vedas has been followed, even Kali Yuga, that also is ripped apart. People start following some adharma and taking that adharma as dharma. So that is an unfavorable example which is mentioned in text 23rd. And 24th verse speaks about a favorable example of rainwater, wherein the rainwater is compared to nectar for all benefit of all living beings. So the winds, they compel the clouds to shower rains. So the wind is compared to brahmanas, priests. And the cloud is compared to wealthy merchant or kings or kshatriyas. So the Brahmana priest, they encourage the kshatriyas. They encourage the wealthy mercantile community to give money in charity, to do big sacrifices and give charity. And that results in what happens? Then when charity is given, everyone in the kingdom is happy because they receive charity. So these are two examples mentioned in this particular verse which we are covering. Srila Prabhupada says in one particular conversation, that rainy season, what we can learn from rainy season is that we see that in this particular world which we are living in, the climate is constantly changing. The season is changing rather. The winter has gone, then summer comes, summer goes away, the rainy season comes, and again the winter comes. So Prabhupada says that this constant changing is not good. Material world means everything is subject to change. And then he mentions for a person, he does not like to be always in a changing condition. And therefore a person is not happy in this world. So Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means to take a person from this changing atmosphere and put him in that eternal atmosphere where nothing changes. That means from material world go to spiritual world. In spiritual world, even the change of season is very good. The summer in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, is also very, very refreshing. Everything in Vrindavan is just for the pleasure of Krishna. In fact, there is no time factor in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. But still time is there. to aid Krishna's pastime. So there is sun, there is moon. Actually, sun and moon is not required in Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. Why? Because sun and moon is part of the material world. Krishna is there. Krishna is illuminating light from his body, Brahma Jyoti. The entire, even the sun is getting its, the source of sunlight is, sun's light is from Brahma Jyoti. But why sun and moon is there in the spiritual world? To help in Krishna's pastime, to serve in Krishna's pastime. Like one time Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning Sharad Purnima lecture here. He was mentioning that the sun rising and sun setting, and the moon rising and moon setting, but it's not required. But still, Krishna is using them to serve his purpose of enjoying with his devotees. And then Radhanath Maharaj gave example that sometimes when you have Sharad Purnima we have here, then we have a moon there, you know. That moon is there, hanging there. It's not a real moon. But that moon serves a purpose in showing that this is now a dark night and there's a full moon behind. So the full moon is like a dummy sitting there. So actually sun and moon are also like a dummy in spiritual world. They are not required. But they just serve the purpose. When Krishna wants, the sun sets. When Krishna wants, the sun rises. So this is what sun and moon is in a spiritual world. So Prabhupada says therefore that we have to therefore go from material world to spiritual world. Prabhupada says that some seasons are not good. They are very harsh. Like summer is very harsh. She was mentioning Kali Yuga is also very harsh. Kali Yuga is an age, a climate, season where very difficult to practice spirituality. In Satyuga, it began with full chance of achieving perfection. And Prabhupada says when Treta Yuga came, then 1/4 chance becomes less. So 3/4 is remaining. 3/4 chance is there even to achieve perfection then. Then Dwapara comes, then half chance of perfection is gone. And Kali Yuga begins with only 1/4 chance, percentage that one can achieve perfection in life. And then it also slowly dwindles. So Prabhupada says that therefore one has to come out of it. And Krishna consciousness is the only way when a person can come out of this condition of summer and enter into spiritual world of rainy season. In this particular purport, the disciples of Prabhupada, they are mentioning this point taken from Light of Bhagavat, Srila Prabhupada's book, that the rainy season, when the clouds shower rain, it is compared to a mercantile man or king giving charity, and they are inspired by Brahmanas. So charity is focused in this particular verse, how when charity is given, what happens? The person who receives charity, he becomes happy. And actually the quality of charity is that the person who gives charity also gets enlivened. More we give, more we get. What we get? Sometimes people think get means like you give 5 rupees, you get 10 rupees. Not that. We get more mercy. We get more blessings. So in this case, like we are discussing here about charity, and the charity aspect, the charity means the idea is that of giving something which we have. So charity has been glorified in all Vedic literatures. In fact, we find even in the life of Lord and his pure devotees, they are also very charitable. We find in Dwarka Leela, Krishna is perfectly giving example of a householder. And every day in the morning, without fail, Krishna gets up, performs his morning duties, and part of this morning duty is to give charity. And every day, almost like 1 lakh cows Krishna gives in charity, milk-giving cows, every day. So charity is there. Like one time this example, this story is there, that one time Narad Muni came to Dwarka, and Narad Muni saw that Krishna was giving charity. And there was a big line, people are standing in line to receive charity from Krishna. But Narada was amazed that Krishna was giving charity with his left hand. So Narad Muni was little astonished and he was thinking that how can Krishna give charity with his left hand? Generally charity has to be given by right hand. And it is mentioned in Vedas, it is mentioned in Shastra, and Krishna is the one who has compiled Shastras. So how can he not know this? So he was reluctant to even go and tell Krishna, Krishna you should give charity by right hand. But some other, that inside thing was going on, churning was going on, and Krishna could understand Narad Muni has some problem. So Krishna asked Narad Muni, what do you have? You have any question to ask? And then Narad Muni immediately asked that, Krishna, you are giving charity with left hand. Why is it so? So Krishna said, see, everyone is in line waiting for charity to come. And then all the charitable things which I am going to give today is on my left side. So therefore I am picking them from my left hand and immediately giving it. Because I don't want that by the time I change my hands, my mind may change. And may think, should I give or not give? So Krishna demonstrates here, when charity has to be given, one should not think. Immediately give. But when you take charity, one should think twice. Generally we don't think twice when someone gives charity. But when we give something, we think twice. Should we give or not? So through this example, Krishna showed that immediately when charity has to be given, give it immediately. Don't wait. So Narad Muni was very happy with his answer. But then Narad Muni also saw an interesting thing that when the line was progressing, few people in the line, when they would ask something, Krishna would make them wait on the side. So then Narad Muni again went and asked Krishna that everyone is getting charity, why you are making them wait? So Krishna said that one who is coming to me to ask for charity, I am giving them immediately. But when a particular person comes and asks me in charity, pure devotional service, then I tell them, waiting list, wait there. So whatever you want from Krishna, Krishna immediately gives. But when you ask pure devotional service, Krishna makes us wait. Because when you ask for pure devotional service, by giving pure devotional service, Krishna gives himself. So Krishna has a waiting room there. We have to wait for some time. Krishna will test us. So this is the power of charity. Krishna is showing by his example how we should be charitable. In the purport is also mentioned about how different avaranas and different ashramas should be working cooperative way. So you see that every varana, every ashram, in terms of charity, a brahmana is one who has to collect charity. But Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports in Bhagavatam that brahmana by nature has to be always poor. That means even if he collects charity, he should not keep with him. He should give it. But he should still collect charity because that is his nature. So brahmana collects charity but does not keep anything with him and remains poor. A kshatriya, he has to give charity. A vaishya, he also has to give charity. A shudra, his life is based on maintenance on charity. Then brahmachari grahastha vanaprastha sannyas, brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari collects charity on behalf of his guru. That means whatever it comes, it has to go to guru. Then grahastha, he has to give charity. In fact, in the four ashrams, all the three ashrams are maintained by grahastha, by the charity. Then vanaprastha and sannyas, they both are meant for tapasya. Brahmachari is meant for yajna, doing yajna. Grahastha is meant for dana. And sannyas and vanaprastha is meant for tapa. So vanaprastha, they are involved in tapasya. So therefore they are not involved in, into collecting charity. But for maintenance of body and soul together, they do madhukari, begging of alms. A sannyasi also is in tapasya. But he also goes to do madhukari. But his madhukari is not same as vanaprastha madhukari. A sannyasi's madhukari is actually compassion. Sannyasi does not go to a householder to ask for money. In fact, he goes to enlighten them. The example is there given in Bhagavatam of Shukdev Goswami. When Shukdev Goswami would travel, he would go to a householder and the time is mentioned as much time required to milk the cow. That means, not much time. But even in that time, he doesn't go to take milk from them. He goes to enlighten them. So his business is to enlighten, and part of enlightenment he collects charity also. So this way brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas, they also function with respect to charity. Of course, to give charity one has to also have something to give. That is very important. We find in the life of so many great souls, even living a householder life, are so renounced, they hardly have anything to give. We have example of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he lives under a tree, even Kailash Parvat. And then the famous example, famous story of how once Parvati wanted to have a house, and then Lord Shiva agreed to build a house. And the house was built, and there was this Graha Pravesh, and so many sages, rishis were all called, and then Shiva, whatever charity he could collect here and there, he just gave everything. And finally in the end, one more rishi was remaining, he came running, and everything was over. So Shivaji gave his own house in charity. So that is Lord Shiva, hardly as anything. In Purana it is mentioned, Lord Shiva's story about building a house, another story. Lord Shiva's name is called a Jitu Math, and he got his name because of this wonderful story. Lord Shiva was once sitting, and it is mentioned that suddenly summer season came. So Parvati Devi became very disturbed because of summer. So she asked, if we are householder, we should need a house. There should be some shade because summer has come. So Lord Shiva said, summer has come, we will change our residence. We will go to forest and sit under a tree. So there will be shade. So Parvati Devi just followed Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva just changed his residence. So demigods also have different residences. Like sometimes rich people have residences. One in Malabar Hill, one in somewhere in Karjat, one in Pune, somewhere like that. So Lord Shiva also has many residences. So they were staying in forest. And when they were staying in forest, after summer season, rainy season came. So Parvati said, now we have to have house. Because even forest also will get wet. So Lord Shiva said, why to endeavor so much? And Lord Shiva created a cloud. And Lord Shiva and Parvati sat on the cloud, and the cloud went above the clouds. So there was no rainfall there. And because Lord Shiva sat on the cloud and went above the cloud, his name became Jitu Math. So that is what, when someone does not have, what he can give much in terms of material possession. When Lord comes, it is mentioned that this nature is very predominantly seen in Lord's incarnation of giving something. And that giving something is not called as charity. That giving something is called as mercy. Kripa and Karuna. So, I was recently hearing a lecture of His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. And Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was mentioning this lecture about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called as Karuna Avatar. Anarpita Charim Chirat Karuna Avatirna Kalo. So, he has appeared in the age of Kali as giving Karuna. So, Maharaj was mentioning, Purushottam Maharaj, that many times this word is commonly used, Karuna. And also sometimes the word Kripa is used. Kripa and Karuna, commonly together used or in exchange of each other. So, one time he was mentioning that I was giving a class in one village. And one devotee, he raised his hand and asked a question. It was like a small discussion going on in a room, in a house. And this devotee asked Maharaj this question. Maharaj, what is the difference between Kripa and Karuna? So Maharaj mentions that first time I ever thought that there can be difference between Kripa and Karuna. And I was thinking how to give him answer. So there was an old lady sitting there next to Maharaj. And she spoke very loudly in Bengali. Maharaj, Kripa means you ask and then it is given. And Karuna means you don't ask till given. That is Karuna. So then Maharaj started analyzing. Actually it's like that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Karuna avatar. Why? Because no one is asking, but he is still giving. But in other incarnations, you have to go and beg, and then Lord comes and gives. So that is the difference between Kripa and Karuna. So as the age is progressing, even Krishna's mercy factor is also increasing. Like the other day I was traveling in a train, and even when you travel in train, often you get to see so many beggars coming in train compartment, and they always, everyone comes in different styles and different, they beg in a different style also. So this particular day when I was traveling from New Bombay to CST, so many beggars were coming from Kurla onwards. And I was thinking that these beggars do not know that previously there is another beggar who has come, you know, they may not know. And they are intensely asking, begging, but hardly getting any money. So the first beggar came, he came in his own style, he sang a song and then he went away. Second beggar came, small children were there, they were dancing and playing, and they were doing some gymnastics. A third beggar came, he was singing a song, but he was singing a song in a, not a poetic way, an off-track way. So one by one all the beggars were coming, and now people are not even giving also, hardly someone is giving. Then finally, at one particular station, one beggar came in, and that beggar was really in bad condition. He had wounds and sores all over his body. And he was having a stick and he was like almost struggling. and he was crying desperately. And I saw, as soon as this beggar came in the compartment, now this compartment has already experienced 4 beggars, and most of them already must have given something to the previous beggars. But immediately everyone put their hand in the pocket and gave some money to this beggar. So I was thinking, the fourth beggar, generally fourth beggar should not be given any money, but he got the maximum money. Why? Because the condition of this beggar aroused compassion in everyone, and they immediately put their hand in the pocket and gave it to him. So in the same style, same way, as the age progresses, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali Yuga, the condition becomes more and more worst. And Kali Yuga comes, Lord, who is very naturally merciful, Kripa, his Kripa becomes Karuna. He wants to give. He cannot stay. I was other day reading something about Narsingadev, and we have this deity of Lord Narsingadev in Mangalgiri, Panakal Narsingha. So the famous pastime of how Lord Narsingadev, he killed Namuchi demon there. And when he killed, Lord Narsingadev became very thirsty. So to quench Lord Narsingadev's thirst, Lakshmi Devi came with nectar and gave nectar to Lord Narsingadev. And Narsingadev became very happy and satisfied. And Narsingadev said, I will stay here only on this mountain. So the demigods came and they thought that Lakshmi Devi gave nectar to Narsingadev, so that means we should also provide the same thing. So they provided nectar to Narsingadev. Satyuga, the demigods worshipped with nectar. The age changed. Treta Yuga came. And when Treta Yuga came, it is mentioned that ghee, nectar became very difficult to achieve. So the next age in Treta, Lord Narsingadev agreed to accept ghee. So they would go and feed ghee. Now this deity is very famous, that the deity's mouth is open and devotees have to go and directly pour. You don't have to chant in mantras also. Directly go and pour in the mouth of the Lord. And then half of it actually comes out and that becomes Mahaprasad. So in Treta, they would pour ghee in his mouth. And when the age progressed, and in the age of Dwapar, then the standard became low. So Lord Narsingadev started accepting milk. So in Dwapar Yuga, people would come and offer milk to Narsingadev. And Kali Yuga came, now we all know what kind of milk we are all drinking. So Narsingadev reduced the standard. He said, okay, offer me good water, jaggery water. So it is called Panaka. So even today, devotees go and offer good water. Good is still available very easily. Water is also still available easily. So Narsingadev's mercy is so all encompassing that he has reduced the standard of drinking. So that people can come more and more and give charity, give something to him in loving devotional service. So Lord also, he reduces the standard and he increases his compassion. Like Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was mentioning in the same class, a beautiful story about, a story which he heard in Jagannath Puri, about how Lord, as he comes in his various incarnations, he becomes more and more merciful. And then he was mentioning that how when Lord Sita and Ram came, and Lord Ram and Sita were exiled in a forest, and Ram was in Dandakaranya forest. So when Lord Ram entered Dandakaranya forest, at one particular place, Lord Ram saw a huge mountain made of bones and skulls. So Lord Ram asked the rishis there, what is this? So all rishis in a very sad tone said, these are the bones and skulls of all rishis and munis who were eaten by the demons in this forest. So Lord Ram became so angry. His eyes became red hot. His lips started trembling or quivering. And then he removed an arrow and was about to shoot. And he said, this arrow will kill all the demons who are existing on the earth planet. And immediately Sitadevi stopped Ram and said, how can you kill someone whom we do not know also, whether he is right or wrong? They may be demon, but some demons may be not as this particular thing which is done by some few demons. You can't kill all demons because of this. So Ram said, no, I have to kill them. So Sita was very much angry on Ram. And she said, you cannot kill like that. You have to know whom you are killing. You just cannot kill shoot an arrow like that. And then Sita Devi told Ram that you promise me, henceforth you will not shoot any arrows. So Lord Ram said, how can I promise that? I cannot promise. In future I have to kill so many demons, so I cannot promise, but I promise you, next time I will come, I will not shoot any arrows. I will not take any weapon. So Purushottam Maharaj mentioning that Lord Ram went on ahead, used his arrows and bows and killed Ravana and his party. And then in the next age, when Lord Krishna came, so when Krishna was in Vrindavan, the same Sita Maharani, she was also as Radharani. So Purushottam Maharaj mentioning, during Vrindavan Leela, you never find Krishna using any astra and shastra. He is almost killing all the demons by his hands or legs. He is kicking or punching or putting his hand in someone's mouth. So one time Srimati Radharani asked Krishna that you promised me in Treta Yuga that you will not kill anyone. And you said that next time when I come I will not do that. So how is that you are killing still the demons here in Vrindavan? So Krishna reminded her that actually I had not promised that I will not kill. I promised that I will not kill by weapons. So I am not killing my weapons. I am killing by my hand, my legs. So Srimati Radharani told Krishna that this is not good. You don't have to kill. Don't kill. Give mercy. So Krishna said, well, it's not possible now. Next time when I come, I will not kill anyone. Then Srimati Radharani thought that it's very difficult. Previously he gave me promise and now also he broke his promise. I don't have any guarantee he will not break his promise in Kali Yuga. So Radharani thought that when he comes, I will manifest within him and check him from within not to kill anyone. And that incarnation is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called as Karuna Avatar. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not waiting for people to come and ask him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is running after them and giving them. He is arranging a sena, an army, that the army is meant to go and run and catch people and give them mercy. People do not want, but the army is meant to go and catch and give them mercy. The first general of the army, the first candidates who got entry in the army were Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. What they were told? Go every house and go and beg and give them the holy name. So that is called as giving them, giving mercy. Even if you do not want, still give the mercy. So this is how there is a difference between Kripa and there is a difference between Karuna. Karuna means even if someone is not wanting it, it's forced upon them. You take it. You should have it. The classical case is given of Jagaya Madai. Papi tapi jata chilo, hari name uddhari lo, tara shakshi Jagaya Madai. Jagaya Madai were never in any range of getting any, even praying to Krishna, but they got the mercy. And it is mentioned in Chaitanya Mangal, when they got the mercy, Jagaya Madai got the mercy, then everyone were surprised, because no one ever thought that these people will get mercy. Even the demigods were taken by surprise. So they had to come and check out whether it's the news is right or really right. So they all came to Navadvip to check out whether really Jagaya Madai have got mercy. And they saw Jagaya Madai, shaven head, with tilak, kanti mala, dancing Hari Bol in Kirtan. And they were very much convinced that actually Jagaya Madai have got mercy. So the whole yatra is shown that how each and every demigod comes to Navadvip and checks out. So while someone is going, the other is coming. So they keep changing. You saw? Yes, we saw. Please go, you also see. So Yamraj had just seen the whole incident of, and he was coming by his vehicle, and suddenly his vehicle stopped. He had come on a chariot, usually comes on buffalo, but he came on a chariot, and his chariot stopped. So all the demigods were going towards Navadvip, thinking that why is chariot stopped? Huh? Any problem with his chariot? Does he require a lift to go back to Yamaloka? And then he saw why the chariot stopped, because Yamraj had fainted in the chariot. Because Yamraj saw something, but he could not register that it is true or not. So while coming, he was asking Chitragupta, hey, what was the record? Tell me. And Chitragupta said, record? The records are so much, we cannot maintain the records. And we were having problem maintaining the record. And where are the records now? Everything is gone. So when Yamraj heard that, he got a shock of his life and he fainted there. This is called a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. How much he can give? He can just keep on giving to others. So, in the same line, we see that not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of giving, but everyone in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of giving. Like I was hearing a lecture of Radhanath Swami, he was mentioning, as parampara progresses, mercy increases. That we can see that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful. But then how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more and more, his followers are becoming more and more merciful. Like Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj in the same class was mentioning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has told all the Indians that they should perfect their life and Kori Paropkar, they should go and preach. And Purushottam Maharaj mentioned, but many Indians didn't want to do it. So they left India and went abroad. They left India and went abroad to avoid this injunction. But Mahaprabhu's mercy went to abroad. Prabhupada took it and went there and gave it to him. Now you Janma Sarthak Kori and Kori Paropkar. Now you go and you preach wherever you are staying. So this is called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and catches and gives mercy. Janma Sarthak Kori Kori Paropkar. So this is the mode of Acharyas, that how they want to give. So Mahaprabhu is in the mood of giving, the Acharyas are in the mood of giving. I was other day listening to a class of Navayogendra Maharaj, and he mentions about a story which he heard from Prabhupada about Janak Maharaj. So Janak Maharaj also, we know Janak Maharaj lived in Treta Yuga, and the day came when the Vaikuntha Viman came, when the Vaikuntha Viman came to take him back to Ayodhya, spiritual world. So before going, he told the Vaikuntha Vasis, the people who had come to take him, that I want to go via route, I don't want to go directly. So okay, where you want to go? Which place in the heavenly planet, which place? So I want to go via hellish planet. So they're shocked, why you want to go via hellish planet, you know? No, I want to just see, I've never seen hell in my life, I just want to check out how hell is. So they were a little not happy, but they said, okay, you can go via hell, but then we will not come inside, we will stand outside. So Janak Maharaj said, no problem, I'll just go inside and come back immediately. So the Vaikuntha Viman went via hell. So they parked the vehicle outside hell. And Janak Maharaj went inside the hell. And when he saw the hell, Janak Maharaj was moved into tears. He just could not see what kind of things were happening inside the hell. Someone was being boiled in hot, pure ghee. Someone was being, you know, put on a tree which is full of thorns, and then he was kind of pulled down. Someone was put in a ocean of stool and mucus and pus. Hare Krishna. Someone was made to embrace a hot iron mold. And Janak Maharaj was literally in tears. But what happened suddenly, all the hellish, the people who were suffering in hell, suddenly started experiencing happiness. Even when they were suffering. And what happened is, as soon as they all saw Janak Maharaj, just by the sight of Janak Maharaj, they felt some relief of that pain which they were having. So they became a little happy for some time, temporary. And Janak Maharaj then said, okay. And then he was about to leave. And all the people in hell, they called unanimously, everyone, Janak Maharaj, do not leave this place. So Janak Maharaj said, why? So just for some moments you came here, we are so feeling happiness. So please stay here. So Janak Maharaj said, I have to go to Vaikuntha, I have to go to Ayodhya. But what is better, to stay, go to Ayodhya for my own pleasure, or to go to stay here for their pleasure? So Janak Maharaj said, okay, I'll stay in hell, and if you're happy by seeing me here, let me give you some happiness. Now meanwhile, the Vaikuntha Vasis were outside waiting for him, and then they see that a lot of time has gone. So they go and check in inside the hell, and say Janak Maharaj is sitting nicely, and everyone is happy, smiling there. So Janak Maharaj, come, we have to go. So Janak Maharaj reveals his plan. I don't want to come, I will stay in hell only. So the Vaikuntha Vasis, they know that Janak Maharaj cannot be swayed from his decision. So Vaikuntha Vasis says, actually, Lord Ram is eager to see you in Ayodhya, and therefore you should come. So Janak Maharaj is now in dilemma, that Lord is asking me to come, I have to go. But then I cannot leave them also. So what should I do? So then he expresses a dilemma to the Vaikuntha Vasis. So the Vaikuntha Vasis says, okay, then you can do one thing, give your devotional credits to them, some of your devotional credits. So Janak Maharaj, he sits in meditation, and he prays intensely to Ram, and he thinks, so many people are here, you know, I can't just give some. And he prays to Lord Ram that, give all my devotional sukriti to all these people in hell. And as soon as that prayer is over, immediately thousands and thousands of Vaikuntha Vimans are seen coming to hell. And everyone from hell is going towards spiritual world. And immediately what happens? The entire hell is vacant. There is no one there. And then Janak Maharaj opens his eyes. And now Vaikuntha Vaja says, now you can come. And Vaikuntha Vaja says, and Janak Maharaj says, how can I come? I have given all my devotional trades, so I can't come with you. I have to stay here now. So Vaikuntha Vasis, they tell Janak Maharaj, don't you know this formula? That more you give, more you get. So now you've got double. So you are more qualified to come. Come with us. And immediately Janak Maharaj sits on the chariot and goes to Vaikuntha. So this comes in Padma Puran, this wonderful story. So as soon as Janak Maharaj makes his exit, then Yamaraj comes. And Yamaraj is surprised. The hell is empty. So then Yamaraj asks his attendants, hey, where are these people, you know? They've gone for some break or what? So all the attendants very morosely say that how Janak Maharaj had come and this whole story. And Yamaraj becomes so happy. So all attendants ask Yamaraj, why are you happy? The hell is empty. And Yamaraj says, no problem, Kali Yuga is coming. So in this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he is giving us mercy, even if we do not want the mercy. And how long this Kali Yuga will last? Very, very small time. One devotee recently went to one place, Karoli. Karoli is a place where Radha Madan Mohan deity is there. No? So very close by to Mathura. From Mathura, 3 hours journey is one Hindon city. You can get down there and 20 kilometers from there is Madan Mohan. Actually, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govind and all the deities went to Jaipur. But Madan Mohan wanted to stay in Braj. So then whole plan, the arrangement came of that princess, when she was married, she wanted deities to also come with her. So that Krishna's external reason, inter reason, he wanted to stay in Braj. So this area of Karoli is in Braj. So one devotee went to Karoli, and Karoli is a very small town. And sometimes you go to a very small town, which is not much affected Kali Yuga atmosphere. You get enlivened. There is devotion everywhere. Everyone is talking of Madan Mohan. All the shops also, Krishna stores, Madan Mohan stores, and everyone chanting Radhe Radhe. So he was so inspired. And then he came in front of the deity of Radha Madan Mohan. And then the pujari came and he talked to the devotee. And the pujari said, I am serving this deity since my childhood. Young pujari. So this devotee became so inspired. He said to this pujari, you are so fortunate. You are so fortunate that you are getting a chance to worship Madan Mohan while living in Kali Yuga. And generally, whatever angle we are thinking, we always try to project that angle. So this devotee is thinking, Kali Yuga is so a difficult place to practice devotional service. So many problems, so many anxieties. Wherever we go, we are actually always deflected from Krishna consciousness. Sense objects are always attracting our attention, taking us away from Krishna. But here is this person, a pujari, right from his childhood, he is worshipping Madan Mohan. Morning to evening is an altar, worshipping Madan Mohan. Therefore he mentioned that in Kali Yuga you are getting chance to worship Madan Mohan. So this pujari said, Kali Yuga? There are so many Kali Yugas, he mentioned. In one day of Brahma there are 1,000 Kali Yugas. So this Kali Yuga has come, and like thousands of Kali Yugas, this Kali Yuga also will go. So this devotee then got a shock of his life. This Kali Yuga also will go, as if saying like, you know, day will go or night will come and like that. Then he started analyzing. Actually, Kali Yuga is also one of the smallest age. Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and the shortest is Kali Yuga. And this Kali Yuga is also will go in a fraction of a moment. Will just go away. And then he was meditating on this thing that how in this particular age of Kali Yuga Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he is such a Karuna avatar. He is giving what never he has given before. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinama Sankirtana. That means even that Harinama Sankirtana which we have received is also short-lived. Just for this Kali Yuga. So there is not much time to wait and watch. One has to spurn into action. That's what this devotee got realization. That even this Kali Yuga is so short, we just cannot be very complacent and wait and then let things happen. No, we have to immediately spurn into action, take this opportunity. Because once this Kali Yuga goes away, what happens? Then again this chance of Golokera Prema Dhana Harinam Sankirtan will come the next day of Brahma. And that's a huge, huge time, big amount of time. So that is a point which we can learn from this, that even though the Karuna is available for us, but it's time is very short. In fact, Chandramouli Maharaj was here and he was mentioning, and that when he mentioned that point, it actually surprised and shook me also. He said, one time I heard a devotee saying that Srila Prabhupada told that many of my disciples will go to heavenly planets. So Chandramouli Maharaj explained that actually many of the Hare Krishna devotees, he was trying to give purport to that we are not very sincere in our devotional life. And as a result, if you don't achieve perfection, what will happen? Then what will happen if you don't achieve perfection? Then we will go to heavenly planet. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe. As per Gita, the person has to go to enjoy to heavenly planets and then come back and then take birth in a devotee family or in a wealthy family or where he gets a facility for devotional service. And Chandramouli Maharaj mentioned that actually the difficult part is that if you go to heavenly planet to enjoy, and heavenly planet, the time span is different than time span, the time calculation on the earth. So we have now only 10,000 years of golden age of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After that, what will happen? Kaliyuga mentions, the Shastra mentions, after Kaliyuga comes in into, after 10,000 years, it will be difficult to practice devotional service. Devotees, handful of them will be there and they will have to go and practice Krishna consciousness in caves. Because what will happen is, if they are out, then they will be easily targeted. They will be shoot at sight. See devotee, shoot at sight. Or sometimes, you know, it is mentioned, the devotee will be the best delicacy. Because people that time will eat each other. And devotee means rare species and they will like to eat devotees. So devotees had to practice Krishna consciousness in cave. So Chandramouli Maharaj mentioning that if we go to make a journey to heaven and again come back from heaven, it might happen that 10,000 years will go away. And we'll come after 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years, what opportunity we can have to access Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this is what I thought I can share with all of you about the aspect of charity. The charity which we can give. Srila Prabhupada has many times emphasized that devotees of Hare Krishna movement should perfect their life, but also preach. Give others. So we are in a unique stand here in this world, in this particular movement, where we have not yet perfected our life. Janma Sarthak Kori is going on, but Paropkar is also going on. Two tracks. So either way, it has to be properly balanced. Many times we focus too much on Paropkar and we forget the Janma Sarthak. And many times we do too much of Janma Sarthak Kori and we forget what Prabhupada wanted us to do also, preach. So it has to be properly balanced. We have to go deep in our spiritual life, and yet whatever we have to share. And that is the greatest charity which we can offer. There are different kinds of charity, but the best charity, Prabhupada says, is giving charity of Krishna to others. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments? Any comments anyone has got? Your question, comment.
Actually, pure knowledge or buddhi mein kya farak hai?
Pure knowledge or buddhi mein kya farak hai? Hare Krishna. Pure knowledge hai. Aur buddhi intelligence hai. Intelligence se pure knowledge aata hai. Theek hai? Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, thank you for such a nice class. You told the difference between Karuna and Kripa. And in Krishna's verse it comes like when we do pranam to Krishna, it's like Karuna Sindhu. So, but sometimes we hear that Krishna first, you know, he tests you, then he gives mercy. So how we can understand that he is Kripa Sindhu?
Of course, the word, it's not like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been called Karuna Avatar, does not mean Krishna cannot be called Karuna Sindhu. It's not like that. It's not black and white in spiritual world. But the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving something which he has never given before. Any incarnation has not given before. He is very benevolent. That aspect is focused more. Like Purushottam Maharaj, same class, he was saying that Kripa means what? That you go and beg, and then you run. Dhai tava pache pache. You really have to beg. So when Krishna is there, he has lot of terms and conditions. Sarva dharma an parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. But that terms and conditions are not there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. No? Patra patra na dekhi, na dekhi sthana sthan. When he comes, he does not see whether someone is qualified or is not qualified. Someone is, a place is suitable or not suitable. He is just giving. So that act of giving is there. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, that when Krishna, if we are saying Krishna is a Karuna Sindhu, but we say that Krishna tests and, you know, he check everything, then he gives. So how is Karuna Sindhu? Karuna Sindhu is Charanya Mahaprabhu, he is not seeing and giving. So just explain that.
Yes, Krishna is Karuna Sindhu, because same Krishna has come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first Karuna Sindhu. Sanskrit is not as plain as English language. The same word can be used for many other meanings. So I'll just answer something more into your question. That how I was hearing a lecture of Giriraj Maharaj, and this point came. Srila Prabhupada, one time one person came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he was the father of a devotee. So Prabhupada asked him, so how you are chanting going on? So he said, yes, chanting little. And then Prabhupada asked him, so you are smoking? And smoking not, I have not given up my smoking. So Prabhupada said, why are you not giving up smoking? So he said that, Prabhupada, I want some special mercy of Krishna. Then only I can give up smoking. So then Prabhupada told, you know what is Krishna's special mercy means? Krishna's special mercy means, what is the sloka? Yasyam anugraham gnami harisheta dhanamshanai. When Krishna bestows his special mercy, he sees that his devotee is not progressing, he is just stuck up there. His special mercy means he will take everything away from the devotee. And he will be alone, he will struggle, then he will call loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So this is Krishna's strategy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy is different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy is take. And he is asking everyone, you are taken, now you give. So therefore, we are living this, we are very fortunate to be in this Hare Krishna movement, that we get have got chance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. In the same very story which I was speaking now about that man, Prabhupada told that man, so what do you want? Krishna's special mercy? So that man said, no, I think so, I endeavor myself. So Prabhupada told actually, whatever mercy we have got now is enough. It is not like Krishna has not given enough mercy. He has given enough mercy. We have to endeavor. But then when we are not endeavoring and we still want mercy, then Krishna will give the reserved quota. VIP seat he'll give. But that VIP seat will be, we have to be like, very painful. Then Prabhupada just very jokingly mentioned about his own example. Krishna tested me twice in my life, Prabhupada said. First, he took everything away from me when I was a householder. Everything away. And then, that was my first test, Prabhupada said. And my second test was, when Krishna gave everything back to me in the form of all these big, big temples, disciples and all. And of course, Prabhupada did not say later what, how he whether passed or not. But we all know, Prabhupada passed with flying colors. Both the tests came, but Prabhupada was happily accepted the test and he passed the flying colors. So this is Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.